You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
This morning, I'm going to be ministering to you on the topic of major breakthrough. I felt really led to talk about major breakthroughs in your life. How many know that any breakthrough is good, but a major breakthrough opens up all these opportunities in your life, and all of a sudden you begin to look at things a little bit different than you did before. And I think personally, as we get into this, you're going to learn that as you accelerate your faith, that breakthroughs become more frequent and often in your life than they had in the past. And so this ability to accelerate our faith in trusting in Christ is what we're going to talk about today. And I believe it's going to help every one of you get to the dreams and the visions that God has called you to. Amen? I want you to say this with me. I'm a dreamer. And I dream high. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to look, if you would, up on the screen. We're going to look at a series of miracles that happened during the time of Joshua. It says in verse 1, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given you Jericho into my hand. It is a king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And on the and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the walls of the city will fall flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, as we look at this, I want you to keep in mind that this city is the gateway into the promised land. In other words, if you can't conquer Jericho, you can't go in the promised land, because it is at the doorway of the promised land. And it's very interesting what God tells him, because you're going to learn something here that's really powerful. He says, what I want you to do is take your 3 to 4 million people, and I want you to go out, and I want you to walk around the city of Jericho the first day, 1 time, and then the 2nd day, 1 time, and the 3rd day, 1 time, and the 4th day, 1 time, and the 5th day, 1 time, and the 6th day, 1 time, and the 7th day, 7 times. Now, I want you to see that on the 7th day, 7 times walk around the city, and then the priests are going to blow the trumpet. You're going to shout, and the walls are going to come down. Now, let me tell you why they're doing it 7 times on the 7th day. Here's the reason. It's very significant. If you remember the first generation that attempted to go in the promised land, you remember they sent in 12 spies. Only 2 of them had faith. And the other 10 said this, we were grasshoppers in their sight, so we were in their sight. In other words, the people in the promised land, their enemies actually looked at them as nothing to be concerned about. They're insignificant, no threat at all. That changed when Joshua's generation came in. Because if you remember the story of Rahab, once she was rescued from the wall, you remember she said this. She said, the people are afraid to the point they are shaking because of you. In other words, the fear level of Israel went way up during the time of Joshua. Always remember this. The devil is not scared of you. Demons are not scared of you when you're not in faith. But when you're in faith, they are terrified of you. They'll flee 7 ways to stay away from you. In other words, they are threatened by your faith, not by you, but by your faith. And that's what's so beautiful about this, because on the 7th day, they went around the city not once, they went around twice. And I imagine all the people going, what's going on? This is getting me concerned. And then they went around the 3rd time, and they went around the 4th time. Boy, something's coming up here. And the fear level went higher and higher and higher until the 7th time. And then it says they blew the trumpets and shouted, and the walls came down, and their breakthrough came. It was a major breakthrough. Hallelujah. Now you say, well, how does that apply to me? You have to do everything God says to do before you stand in faith. Before you can have the confidence that your breakthrough is coming, you got to do everything he says to do. And let me give you an example of what I mean by this. When I say do everything he says to do, what does the Bible say? When you're in need, it said to ask, but it also said to receive what you asked for. Don't just seek, find what you're looking for. Don't just knock, keep knocking till the door is open. In other words, you can't stand in faith until you receive what you ask for. On that seventh time when the trumpets blew, it was like they were spiritually receiving what God had promised them. And at that point, that's when the breakthrough happened in their life. And that's when the breakthrough can happen in your life, is when you can receive what you're asking in faith for. We ought to get excited right now. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Good preaching. I've seen so many people will spend years and years and years asking and get no results. You got to get to a place that you receive what you ask. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Whatever you ask, you got to ask, but you got to receive what you ask for. Now, to show you how significant this is, how many know the Apostle Paul? He wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. He said this. He said that for 14 years. He had an unusual level of persecution, extraordinary level of persecution. And it says that he besought the Lord three times in 14 years. Now, if that was one of us, we would have been beseeching the Lord thousands and thousands of times within 14 years. But he understood that whatever you ask for, you have to receive. I want you to say it today. I'm receiving my healing. I'm receiving my increase. I'm receiving my restoration. I'm receiving my blessing today. And I'm going to leave with that blessing. And I'm going to stand in faith with that blessing. Because what God has blessed me with, Satan can't take from me. And my breakthrough is coming. Hallelujah. You know, I love in the book of Ephesians, it says this. It says, when you've done all you're supposed to do, it says, stand. In other words, what am I all supposed to do? Ask and receive. Don't just ask, but go farther and receive what you ask for. You know, I remember years ago, my father in my faith, he said this preaching one time. He says, if you're willing to stand forever, you probably won't stand that long. But if you're not willing to stand, and it doesn't matter how long it takes, some people will stand in the morning and maybe stand till evening. Some may stand until Monday. Some may stand till next week. Some may stand until a month from now. Some may stand maybe even a year from now. But how many of you are willing to stand no matter how long it takes? And say, I'm gonna stand in faith. I'm going to receive what God says. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care whether I sink, drink, or drown. Come on. I'm going to go through it. Praise God. And I'm going to see God's blessings break through in my life in a great way because I received it today at the river. Praise God. What I need for my breakthrough. Major breakthroughs happen that way in their life. And that's what God wants you to have. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you some truth that will help you receive today in whatever you're going through. Many people struggle with receiving because they figure, well, I've messed up, I've made this mistake, so I got to go through all this, and I don't think it's this season, God wants to bless me. And so they have this misconstrued idea about judgment that is preventing them from receiving what they need today from the Lord. I want you to look at this verse. This is in Jeremiah 29. It says, for thus says the Lord, after the 7 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you. Say good word towards you. And cause you to return to this place. Now here's the verse most of us have heard. For I know the thoughts the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I read that verse before because I wanted you to see something. The good word of God, which is the gospel, it's the good news. Amen? became available to us after Jesus went to the cross and was judged for our sins in his body on the cross. In other words, they had to wait 70 years for judgment to pass before God's good word could happen to them. God's good word is for us right now because Jesus was judged for your sins in his body so that you could receive the blessings of the Savior, so that you could receive the blessings of Abraham. I don't got to wait till judgment is passed. It's already happened in the body of Jesus. Now, in John 3:18, it says this, that those who believe on him shall not be judged. Those that don't believe on him have already been judged. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you can get this yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not being judged for your sins if Jesus is the Lord of your life. In fact, I'll make a bold statement. God doesn't judge you for your sins that you do after salvation. He judges your faith, but not your sin. That was all dealt by the blood of Jesus on the cross. He'll judge your faith, and it can prevent the blessing from coming, but it's not the difference. Maybe the best way to describe it is the difference between a criminal court and a civil court. Civil court, you don't go to jail if you end up losing. A criminal court, you can go to jail. Say amen, everybody. Listen, there's no criminal court for the believer because Jesus was judged for us on the cross. All we can do is look forward to going to heaven and use our faith for the blessing to break into our lives and to break into every aspect of our life. Praise God. Do you understand how that sometimes a misunderstanding of judgment hinders people from believing for their breakthrough? Well, Pastor, I was unfaithful. I did this and that, and you know, God's been good. At least he saved me. Listen, I'm telling you, he saved you a lot more than you think you're saved. He's able to restore you even though you were an idiot. He knows how to restore you even though you did stupid things. He knows how to restore you because the judgment landed on his son so that it wouldn't land on you, praise God. And you ought to be praising him right now. Thank you, Lord, for the second chance. Third chance, thousandth chance. Thank you that you're there. I can go to you. I can get the help that I need from you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Woo. What a salvation do we have? It's called the good news, the good word of God, not the bad word of God, the good word of God. We have a good word that God has hope and a future for every one of us. And I wanted you to see that today because I really sense in my spirit a major breakthrough is coming to many of you today. I said, it's coming. You're going to say, that was a service. My major breakthrough came. That was the moment, praise God, I received him. That was the moment that I sensed, whoa, there's been a shift spiritually. I feel that shift spiritually. Woo! Woo! I preached myself happy already, praise God. Look at this next verse, and this will help you with the same thing. It'll help you be able to receive today. 2 Corinthians 2:4, 14 says this, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Praise God. Now keep this in mind. The word triumph there doesn't mean car. It's not talking about a sports car. It's talking about the type of victory that Rome would have over their enemies. They would go to battle, and if they won the war, they would take all the opposing enemy and they would march them into Rome. They'd be stripped of their weapons and they would put all their spoil in wagons and roll it into Rome while the crowd was cheering on the side. So you not only won the war, you got the spoils from the war. Remember Jesus said this? He said, if you bind the strong man, you get his spoils. We got spoils coming, church. Amen. The devil's been stealing it from us, but we got it coming. So they march it through the city, and then the king, they would take him, the king of the enemy, they would take and cut off his thumb and cut off his big toe off his right foot so that he couldn't wield a sword, so he couldn't run. Satan has been completely defeated by Christ. Paul's saying everywhere we go, we talk about the battle's already been won. Everywhere we go, Satan's already been defeated. Everywhere we know, the keys of death and Hades have already been given to Christ. Everywhere we go, we can bind the enemy. Everywhere we go, God has given us victory in Christ, and we work out that victory in our lives. We're more than conquerors in the Lord. Go ahead, let's have a praise offering right now. I tell you, praise offering. Thank you, Lord. 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 See, we are not trying to get victory. We're trying to work out the victory that God has already given us. Demons don't have power over you. The devil doesn't have power over you. The only power he has is deception. He has no anointing, has no spiritual power. All he can do is deceive people. And once our eyes are open to the truth, we can say, devil, you're not wrecking my life anymore. Demons, I'm not listening to your lies anymore. We're going to walk in the things of God. Whew. Praise God. Now, I'm going to show you a verse in the book of Isaiah 43. They're going to put it up the screen to verse 25, and this is really going to help a lot of you. Listen to what it says. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins, and I will not remember your sins. Now, this verse, I want you to see this. I prayed about this verse, and the Lord said, the reason why I do it for my own sake is so that my will can reign through you. Because if the sin wasn't dealt with, I couldn't reign through you. But because my son dealt with the sin, I can reign through you. In other words, God, when you accept Christ, forgives you of all your sins, past, present, and future. And he won't remember them anymore. I said he won't remember them anymore. They won't be there to block you when you're asking for grace and mercy. They won't be there to stop you to receive help from on high, because Jesus took that on himself on the cross. Now I'm going to make a very powerful statement about forgiveness. Forgiveness comes the moment you put your trust in Christ. The moment you trust in Jesus, there's automatic forgiveness. You don't have to remember every sin that you committed. Oh, Lord, I'm trying, but you know, I kicked the cat yesterday and I put the cat outside when it was raining. Yeah, no. And I cut in front of the pastor the other day. I didn't know it was him. You don't need to do that. Soon as you trust Christ, your sins are forgiven and blotted out, and God will remember them no more. Say no more. Let me give you three references to prove this. James 5:15 says that if any of you be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. In other words, if you've got some sin issues, because you exercised faith, I'm going to remove that sin so that your healing can come into your life. Another reference is Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 39. The four friends had a friend that was paralyzed. They couldn't get in the building, so they climbed up on the roof, tore it up, let the man down through the roof. And Jesus says to him, without him asking for forgiveness, he said, your sins are forgiven, because he saw their faith. Say amen. Another reference, this is in Luke's gospel. It's in a couple accounts. In Luke chapter 7, verse 37 to 38, this is Mary Magdalene, by the way. She was washing Jesus' feet with her tears and with her hair. And Jesus says, her sins that are many have been forgiven because she loves much. In other words, he forgave her sins before she even asked him to forgive him, because she put her faith in him. Come on, everybody. I ought to be getting excited about this. Now, let me tell you exactly why a lot of you can't receive the breakthrough that you want in your life. Are you ready? Here's the verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, or 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, has forgotten, say has forgotten, that he was cleansed from his former sins or old sins. In other words, you forgot that God forgave you. I want you to remember this. If you're born again, you're like a spring of living water that comes up. Even though mud may get in at that spring, it'll begin to purify the water. And God, the blood of Jesus continually is cleansing us from unrighteousness in our lives because of the righteousness of God in our lives. Now, you can readily see from that truth why sometimes we have a hard time receiving. Well, I really haven't lived up to what I should have lived up. Well, who has? We all mess up. But go to Jesus. You're having a bad day? Go to Jesus. You're fighting with your wife? Go to Jesus. Kids are not behaving? Go to Jesus. You're in a traffic jam and you're frustrated? Go to Jesus. Because when you go to Jesus, he'll give you the power to overcome. But if you think you got to be perfect before he'll help you, you won't get the power. And God has a great breakthrough for every one of us. There's a major breakthrough coming. I said it's coming. It's coming. It's financial. It's healing. It's mental. It's your family. A major breakthrough is coming. It's coming in your life. All you got to do is receive it. Whew. That's all you got to do. When you do that, what you do is you get ahead of the doubt that tries to come in your life. You got to learn how to accelerate your faith. Now, let me give you some practical application to this. I've been just preaching a lot of word at this point, but let me give you a practical application. If you're dealing with relationship issues, and how many know when you first get married, it's different than after you've been married a while. When you first get married, you put up with a lot. Amen? And then after a month or so, you say, hey, honey, I love you, but why are you putting the toilet paper on backwards? It's supposed to come from the top, not the bottom. Or how about this one? Didn't anyone ever teach you that you're to roll up the toothpaste? You squeeze it in the middle. It's destroyed every time I look at it. Or here's the classic one. How long do you have to know that I want the seat down in the bathroom after you do your thing? Say amen, praise God. But there's these little things that come up in relationships. Now, here's how to overcome it using these principles. Never highlight the faults in your spouse. Always highlight their qualities. You know the little, you remember how we used to mark up our Bibles when people used to bring Bibles to churches? We'd highlight a verse. Never highlight your wife's faults or your husband's fault. Highlight the good qualities you have. Because if you start highlighting the bad qualities, all of a sudden you'll be attracted to more of their faults. And your list will go from here to here to here to here to here, and their qualities will be down here. And if it stays down here that long and their faults are this high, it's only a matter of time. It destroys the relationship, could end up in divorce. So what I want you to do is highlight the good qualities, and then you'll begin to see even better ones and 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 better ones in your life. Say amen. And like I said, it's easy to do it when you first fall in love. You know, everything's fine and until you trip over the clothes that your husband left on the floor and hit your head or stub your toe. Then all of a sudden, love is out the window. So you have to practice what I'm preaching today. I'm going to highlight all the qualities of my husband. Every time he smiles, it melts me. Every time he gets me a cup of coffee, I just want to snuggle up. Oh, anyway, okay, okay. Maybe I'm preaching for myself here. Could be, praise God. Now, I'm going to show you this acceleration is divine acceleration in relationship. I've seen people that are at the point of divorce get touched by these things I'm preaching, and overnight, there's such an acceleration. In their marriage, it's like they've been married for 50 years and they just know of each other perfectly and they flow together good. God can accelerate it. One of the greatest accelerated miracles in the Bible is when Jesus turned the water into wine. Now, personally, I don't drink wine because I don't want to cause somebody to stumble. But I'm not here to tell you what's sin. It's not particularly sin if you have a glass of wine. But we just don't do it here at the church. Amen? I got too many people that are alcoholics. It's just not a good idea. But Jesus, he turned the water into wine. Gallons and gallons and gallons of it. Now, I don't know if you've ever did a study on this, but if you ever study wine, which I have, a bottle of wine takes 4 years for it to be processed out, to grow it, you know, to smash it and all that stuff, fermentate it. And it takes 7 years for a really expensive thing of wine. Jesus did it all within seconds. It was an accelerated miracle. Remember, the host said, hey, usually save the best or use the best wine in the beginning, not later, because later everybody's sauced. But it was accelerated. God can accelerate your prosperity beyond your wildest dream. God can accelerate your relationships beyond what is mean. God, I've seen God take a few years and pack into 70 years of blessings. God is able to accelerate things in your life when you get this mindset. I've received my fantastic or major breakthrough in my life, and God can begin to accelerate it, accelerate it, accelerate it, accelerate it, accelerate it until you be overwhelmed. Come on, church, say amen. That's good. God will do that for you. Now, what I want you to do is I want everyone to stand up because I want to give you an illustration at the end here on how actually to accelerate your faith when you're feeling really, 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 really down. And how many of you have those moments when it feels like your life is failing, it feels like you won't have what you need, it feels like your life is worthless? How do you accelerate your faith to a place where that major breakthrough can happen in your life? The story we're looking at comes from the book of Acts chapter 16. It's of Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas were out preaching, and they have been beaten with rods and thrown into the inner jail. And it says at midnight. Say midnight. That means it's one of the dark time in their life. This is a time they don't feel good. Justice has been unfair to them. And it says that they begin to sing praises to God. And it said the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't amazing grace. It was amazing grace. I mean, it was out there. Everybody was listening to it. And the Bible said there was this great earthquake that occurred from the praise. And all the doors opened. In those days, if the prison guard that was watching the prisoner, any of the prisoners got loose, they would execute him. So he's taking out his sword to kill himself. And Paul says, we're here. We're healed. Don't do that. Anyway, to make a long story short, he gets saved in his whole household. But it was praise that released this major breakthrough for Paul. It was praise. I want you to remember this about faith and write this down. At first service, I said, tattoo it on your skin, and I changed my mind. Don't do that. Just write it with a pen on your arm. Faith is not a feeling. Let me say it again. Faith is not a feeling. 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 It's a belief. It can create a feeling, but it's not a feeling. Faith is a belief. They didn't feel like worshiping God. They didn't feel like giving praise to God. They had just been accused falsely for doing something that was not wrong. And they were sentenced and tried without a court of law. And Paul was a Roman citizen. And once they found out what they had done, they went to Paul asking for mercy because he could have had him killed. But it was unjust. It happened to him. Much like our culture today. So he's in this situation, And they've been beaten with rods, which means they've got fractures in their ribs. They're bruised. Just to breathe was hard. They didn't feel like praising God. But Paul must have turned to Silas or vice versa. Let's just praise him. Let's praise him. He told us in everything, give thanks. And they began to praise him and praise him. And all of a sudden, the power of God began to work through their praise. A praise in church, people get saved. A praise in church, people are set free. A praise in church causes the devil to go on the run. A praise in church will make your family happy. A praise in church will bring peace. A praise in church will bring breakthrough. A praise in church will change the atmosphere. A praise in church will cause a shift spiritually and attract breakthrough in your life. A praise in church will do that.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River App, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.